Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
I'll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, South Mississippi, Central Mississippi, North Mississippi, wherever you're tuned in this afternoon, welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us. It's a new week of broadcasting Southern Miss Athletics on the Super Talk Radio Network, and we're happy to do it. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove, Mississippi. Bob and Kelly, we're glad you're with us. We do think Dima will be back next week from his extended travels, and we'll look forward to that. Opening segment of the show, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, great supporters of Southern Miss, great supporters of this program, and a great place to eat 7 days a week or cater your next event. It's always good at Dickey's Barbecue. All right, we're going to be talking to Heath Hinton, Big Gold Nation, a little later in the show. Another apparently big baseball signee that we're going to talk a little bit about. Also going to update you on Landon Harper, the former Golden Eagle down in the Atlanta Braves organization, who recently extended his scoreless streak to 20 innings pitched without giving up a run for the Mississippi Braves. So, man, that was he was always one of mine and Kelly's favorite kids, and we're really happy to see the dog, as we titled him, doing so, so well in professional baseball. But we want to start the show off today with a new face in Golden Eagle Athletics. Colton Cowan is the new women's golf coach for the Golden Eagles, and it comes to us from Henderson State University. He's a Ready. I surprised you when I knew about that, didn't I, Coach?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yes, the Henderson State Readies in Arkansas, a good friend of mine, a graduate of there. And first of all, welcome. Tell us what your first impressions of Hattiesburg and Southern Miss are like.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on the show. It's a little bit bigger town than Arkadelphia, Arkansas, down in kind of just southwest corner of the state. The town seems great. The people, I think the people are kind of the big thing that lured us here, me and my wife and our daughter Colin, just kind of the atmosphere and just kind of the desire to compete, desire to win, and just the family-like atmosphere that Southern Miss has and within athletics department.
What, now that you've had a chance to size up your team, what are your initial thoughts?
I'm excited. I think there's a lot of potential, a lot of talent that Lucy Burke brought in, and they seem very eager. They seem very ambitious, and I think we're going to surprise a lot of people.
Well, Lucy was actually from Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken.
Oklahoma,
which is where you're native.
Yeah.
She must have coached at Arkansas. Seems like there
she
was
played at Arkansas.
Yep. Okay, so you're from Oklahoma. You come from Boomer Sooner country.
That's right. I do.
Yeah. So tell us how you ended up here. What caused you and Jeremy McClain to connect?
I think a lot had to do with Sean Jones as well. So Sean Jones was the athletic department at. Athletic director at Henderson State, and he gave me my first opportunity to lead a program at the ripe age of 26 years old. Coming out, I think that was going to be my fifth year coaching as a whole, and so a lot of trust inputted in me from him. I just young and ambitious, and taking over a program. Forrest Schultz was the director of golf before me. He had a job down at Troy. And so it was one of those where there were a lot of expectations for the golf programs to succeed. And it was one that I was just ready to jump on and jump on board. And we ended up doing pretty well. I promised Sean that we would bring home a national championship, and we didn't quite do that. Semifinalist was the best we were able to do. But overall, the work ethic and just the growth of the student athletes from those 3 years kind of – allowed opportunities such as Southern Miss to allow me to interview for, and my time during the process talking to Jeremy McClain and just kind of getting to know him, getting to know his vision for Southern Mississippi, and just kind of his desire to of excellence, I think, is one that I was excited to be on. Sean Jones told me one thing just kind of during my time at Henderson. He's like, you have schools that have golf programs, and then you have schools that want to win at their golf programs. And talking to Jeremy and getting to know his visions within just all of his athletics, he desires to win, and I'm excited to get started on that.
Well, Coach, it certainly doesn't hurt when you see the plans for the, and I think they're going to start painting indoors at the new golf facility for the men and women's golf teams at Southern Miss. That certainly didn't hurt.
That definitely did not hurt at all. Kind of getting the opportunity to go tour Hattiesburg Country Club and seeing the floor plan for the indoor facility, I think it's going to be awesome. And I think it's also going to be another recruiting tactic that we're going to be able to continue to recruit high caliber players. And
Take us through your punch list. The top, you had to have a to-do list right away, right? I mean, you were only in town for a couple of days. You're that new at this job, right?
Yeah. So today, actually, I drove in last night, slept in the Holiday Inn, and then here we are getting started.
Well, if you stayed at the Holiday Inn Express, then you're going to win the national championship because you stayed there last night, right? As the commercial goes. So what are some things you want to check off the list? The sooner the better.
I mean, I just try to keep my head above water this moment in time. So I guess main thing is starting off relationships with the players, which I've already started with that, and just kind of getting to develop that culture early on. So when they show up on campus, it's not like, hey, this is what we plan on doing. This is our standard. This is who I am. I know who you are. Hit the ground running on that side of it. Then as far as everything else goes, there's always, I mean, recruiting. Recruiting's also going to be the big thing for the class of 25. I know we're losing three of our seniors next spring, and so that's going to be the next top thing on my list.
Recruiting, to me, it would seem that it would be really difficult because just numbers-wise, golf is still relatively in its infancy as far as the women go, playing from junior high. There just aren't a lot of young women, it seems to me, in the South that are picking up a golf club when they're 5 years old and playing all the way up through high school. So your pool of talent, not very big, yes?
Right. So, yeah, it is one of those things where, and then especially the schools you're competing with recruiting-wise to get those players, it is becoming more popular, so it's no longer the instance of, oh, if you swing a golf club, you get a full ride scholarship. That's no longer a thing. But the talent level within just women's golf as a whole, it is a smaller pool, so there is one just from a relationship standpoint just need to be weary of and kind of continuing to stay in contact with the athletes and just let them know. I just get to know who we are and what we do as a program.
Golf is one of those strange sports in college where you have a fall season and a spring season.
Correct.
Right? Very few other sports have those. So what's the strategy? What do you try to get accomplished in the fall that will carry forward to the spring? And is one season, Coach, more important than the other?
So the spring season is going to be our championship season. That's
okay.
When conference, regionals, and nationals is. So, but the fall season is still a part of the season. Like, it's not two separate seasons where the fall just gets disregarded. So kind of my philosophy has always been within the fall, it's so fast. Kids show up on campus, you start qualifying, you start traveling. Next thing you know, it's the end of October and fall season's done. So the main thing about the fall is just becoming aware where each student athlete is and what they need to do over the off season and get ready for the spring season. So a lot of it's just diagnostics work, trying to figure out exactly where each student athlete is from a physical standpoint, where each student athlete is from a mental standpoint, where they are emotionally, and just kind of all the facets of the game, learn where they are. And so we can develop a good plan for them to have a good off season schedule and then to work towards the spring.
Have you had a chance to meet the golfers?
I've had a Zoom call, and then I've talked to them individually on the phone and then kind of keep up with them text because most of them are still competing. And that's also the weird thing with golf. There's not really an off season, if you will. So during the fall season And then before that, you have the summer, which you have all the club championships, all the AM qualifiers, all the state opens. And that's where a lot of college golfers and amateur golfers get all of their world ranking points and different things like that. Then before that, you have the spring season. So really, golf-wise, you have December and January to where you're quote-unquote off-season. But as we've already discussed, it's halfway through our initial season, so they can't really just hang up their clubs and be done for 2 or 3 months. Like, it's something to where it's a very diligent work and something that they got to stay on top of, because if not, then they're going to be behind the eight ball when the spring comes, and that's not a place where we need to be.
You mentioned world rankings, which also tells you that golf is indeed a worldwide sport. I know Coach Brescher likes to recruit Canada. When you look at the women's game, the Koreans are very, very strong in golf.
We're about out of time. Hold that thought, Coach. We'll get to that question. On the other side of the break, we've got new women's golf coach Colton Cowan with us on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Still to come, Heath Hinton. We're going to be talking about Landon Harper's of new baseball potential signees. And if we have a chance, I want to get to this basketball MAC Sun Belt Showdown. Kelly knows a little bit about the MAC conference, and we'll talk more about all of that. Monday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the program, as you know. Kathleen down on Hardy Street, also campusbookmart.net, greatest selection of Southern Miss apparel anywhere on the planet. And it's always there, Campus Bookmart, right across from the campus, campusbookmart.net if you are out of town. Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are simply the finest vehicles on the road today, and they've got a brand new state-of-the-art Genesis showroom right here on 98 West in Hattiesburg. In fact, it is the only Genesis showroom in the state of Mississippi. You need to check it out. Don't forget the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, heard every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. June, our biggest month ever with downloads, and we're grateful to everybody very much for that. Colton Cowan is the new women's golf coach at Southern Miss. Got into town last night on the Eagle Hour this morning. We're happy this afternoon. We're happy to have him. And Kelly, I know you had a question about foreign players. You can continue the conversation.
Yeah, when you look at the LPGA Tour in particular, Coach Cowan, the Koreans have dominated, you know, for the last 5 or 6 years, and no reason to think that wouldn't continue. But with the internet, with social media, with the ways that you're able to recruit now, I know as we mentioned, Coach Brescher likes to get players, you know, from Canada. Where do the international players fit in now that you're at Southern Miss?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that's one that I'm going to have to kind of wade through a lot on, just because my time at Henderson State, I kind of always casted out a wide net and just kind of see who would kind of fit the culture and the standard that I desire. And so it was one to where I struck out a lot on internationals just based upon the funding that we had. And so here I know kind of the and this may be a little arrogant on my end of it, but a lot of the preconceived notions of internationals are that's kind of how you have to compete with the Power Fives, is that's the only way you're able to bring in the caliber of players to do that. And so it's going to be interesting to see kind of the philosophies that I do have and kind of how many internationals we do bring up in, but also how many in-state ladies that we bring in, just because now having the indoor facility, having the two country clubs that we have, I think will be a bigger market for the in-state players. And for me, and kind of what always fit my culture and the programs that we had are kind of more the blue-collar group, if you will, not expecting a lot of things to be handed to us, but we expect to go out and have to work for it and go take advantage of any opportunity we're given.
Women's golf in Sweden, too, is very – the Swedes also produce a lot of really good women's golf teams. And, you know, Bob, some people will say, boy, we want to win. We want to win. Well, then if you go get too many foreign players, they'll go, well, how come we can't have any American kids? You know, that's that fine line you have to kind of walk, Coach.
And what do you say about that, Coach, who people will say they're bound to be American kids that can play tennis or bound to be American kids that can play golf?
It would just be one to where I don't know. I see that's the thing. Being so new to this area and being new within the Division I, it's going to be interesting to see how I learn about all that. Because like I said, the arrogance of me is like, yeah, I don't see why we can't get in-state kids, why we can't get kids from Florida, Alabama.
But
Texas,
in Division II, there are more American kids. Is that what you're
there
saying?
There are, just because of funding is what it ends up being. Funding's a little bit better in Division I. You get a little bit more scholarships, so you're able to spread out the wealth a little bit more.
Right.
Where my experience with internationals is they most of them have good work ethics, and they have what it takes to be successful, if you will. But they're just mainly looking for the school that's going to give them the most money. And that's going to be kind of where they pick and choose where they want to play. And my thing is, and as you guys can hopefully attest to at some point in time, is I'm not looking for people to choose my program because we gave them the most money. I'm looking for players that want to come play for Southern Mississippi, that want to represent the Golden Eagles, that want to go and do what they say can't be done and have that drive and ambition. And at the financial part, if we're able to work that out for them, awesome. But at the end of the day, the motive for them to be here is to compete at our highest level, not because of a financial.
Right.
Now, speaking of financial, and Bob Getty got a copy of this article this morning, one of the teams that you or any other Division I school would have to compete against to win a national title is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. An article this morning, the University of Alabama, this was back in April, a couple months ago, unveiled plans for a $40 million golf facility. Right now, it's more than an indoor facility with offices and study spaces and so on. They are building their own golf course. Rather than have to put up with, air quotes, local country clubs, they are building their own golf course so that their golf team has a place to practice. Now, look, all I ever want to try to do is know that when you take the field, you got a shot, right? But it just seems to me, Coach, it's just so hard to compete with money like that.
Yeah, and once again, being new to the Division I side of things and kind of all that, what all that entails, it will be difficult, and there's no way to kind of to skirt around that.
But you said you're going to figure it out.
That's our goal. That's my goal. There's always going to be the challenges. There's always going to be people that have more than you do. But the way I see it, the way we'll recruit is we have everything that we need to be successful here in Hattiesburg. They at their indoor facility, they have an indoor hitting bay. We have an indoor hitting bay. They have a golf course that they have fully access to. I know we have a great relationship with Hattiesburg Country Club and Canebrake Country Club and other clubs within Southern Mississippi. We'll find a way to make sure we get the opportunity to go play golf. So I've always been one not to kind of look and idolize on what other people have, but to appreciate what we do have and go find a way to make things
happen. You're a better man than I am, but you can Bob, you can slide the dead horse back underneath the desk again as yeah, I kicked it ahead. Again.
Coach, we've always had fun with our golf coaches, and we say that you guys and your athletes are the smartest of all athletes, because while football players are out in 100 degrees in humid weather, you know, beating up on each other, and basketball players are running up and down the floor, and baseball players are out in the heat, you guys are at the famous country club in South Carolina and down on the coast, and you're just all the nicest places in the world playing golf.
You can't miss the days where it's 35 degrees, blowing 40 out of the north, and it's raining and cold, and all the 5:30 wake-up calls. So, yeah, there's always the good things, and then there's days where you're like, you know what? I wish I was an indoor sport. I wish we had the opportunity to not come out here and play golf, but that's competition. You got to find a way to go out and compete in it.
So, now, you're not buying it that you guys have it the best of everybody?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Got you on the record, Coach, your first day.
Everyone that makes that comment when it's 75 and sunny, but not when it's 35 and raining.
Have you guys ever gotten to play Trump Towers or any of the Trump layouts?
I have not, no. I personally have not.
Well, you know, maybe the first time for everything. Yeah. You know, you never know. What do you think is your strongest suit? Coach Cowan?
My strongest suit, I think it's going to be along the lines of getting my athletes prepared mentally and emotionally to go out and compete. So golf is a unique sport, and it's not unique in that side, but now what we're seeing within the junior golfers is a lot of them do have the skill sets to compete at a high level. They have functional golf swings. They have what it takes from the skill side, but they don't understand how to go out and compete. They don't understand anxieties. They don't understand fears, and how we as human beings can actually address that to help us play better versus hindering our performance as a whole. So my background's kind of interesting. I didn't have the career path of going and playing professional golf. I was the exact opposite side, where I was so anxiety-ridden during my college time, where I was trembling over golf shots. And I joke with people all the time. It's like, if anyone experienced what I did, they wouldn't be around this game anymore. But I got into the coaching realm, and I saw an opportunity to help young student athletes that to not fall into the same trap that I did, of this pursuit of perfection, this concept of expectations, and just understanding that this game is extremely difficult, and having the proper game plans and mindsets to take on those challenges to allow us to go succeed at the level that we need to. So,
are you telling us you had the yips when you were playing?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Putting in particular?
Putting, chipping, off the tee, you name it. Yeah, I've probably experienced it.
So you've tried to make lemonade out of lemons, as it were.
Yeah. I guess I don't understand what
mentally. Mentally, you had some tough things you had to overcome, but you did.
Right.
You made the best of it.
Exactly, exactly. A lot of that comes down to, you just have to voluntarily address the situation at hand. You can't run away from it. Any form of fears and anxieties, you cannot run away from it. You have to address it head on, and it's very uncomfortable. It's not fun, but what you're able to do. During that is to allow yourself to play more free, because you're not running away from the situation.
Well, Bob, he's inspired me. I'm pulling out the Speedo this summer.
Great. That inspires us all. Just the thought of that. Coach, thanks very much.
Thank you.
New women's golf coach Colton Cowan on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. When we come back, we'll shift gears. You're not going to believe this. We're going to talk about Southern Miss baseball.
The season's over.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank new golf coach Colton Cowan for joining us early on in the show. I want to remind you that this Thursday there will not be a Super Talk Eagle Hour, no local programming on any Super Talk station. They'll be having the Palmer Home for Kids all day radiothon. We hope that you can find it in your heart to donate to that very worthy cause. That'll give us a day here to work on other stuff, but at the same time do a really wonderful thing in raising money for the Great Palmer Home for Children. All right, this segment of the show sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, where you'll always find the best game on the TVs and the best food on your plate, and always find the best selection of Southern Miss memorabilia anywhere on the planet. 4th Street Bar and the Grill in the shadow of the rock. Want to also thank Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Super Talk Eagle Hour at 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page. Go ask for some freshly cooked beignets, and we know that you will be glad you did. Heath Hinton is the owner and proprietor of Big Gold Nation. You know that. A couple of things wanted to talk to him about. Let's just go first with the draft, Heath. It's just about a week or so away now, and any update on the Golden Eagles that you feel like the program is anticipating may be drafted and have a decision to make?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're looking at two, maybe three guys, I think. Look at Nico Mazza, a pitcher, thinking that, you know, with the stuff he has, he's got an extra year left, so, I mean, he's got some bargaining power there. So Nico Mazza's a guy that looks to be you know, kind of one of those guys they think may be drafted. And another one that has really come on late is McIntyre. Dalton McIntyre, the center fielder. It's hard to overlook 400. And he's got a plus arm. He's a plus outfielder. Not power at the plate, but he gets on base. And with that speed that he possesses and his ability to play center field, and a left-handed batter, left-handed leadoff guy, I mean, that's huge for major leagues. And see maybe he getting drafted, and maybe even Billy Oldham later in the draft, but I haven't seen much on him getting drafted, so I think maybe he's going to come back next year. But I think those are the two biggest guys right now they're looking at as maybe getting drafted, with Billy Oldham maybe too.
We had heard Ozzie Pratt's name thrown around. You think that's kind of cooling off a little bit? You think he may be back?
I think there's a chance he might be, but I have a feeling Ozzie's going to be back. I think people want to see him do it another year at the Sun Belt level. So, yeah, I think, you know, next year for sure, and maybe this year, but the draft is so, you know, it's so unpredictable. And you may hear a guy that they think is going to get drafted in the fifth that doesn't get drafted till later, or the third that get drafted later. But I think Ozzie's a guy that may stay around and be here next year. Then again, you know, 2 years ago, nobody thought seven pitchers were going to get drafted.
Right.
So it's you never know. Yeah. You never know.
Here's the thing that Dalton McIntyre is going to have to struggle with. Let's say that he does get drafted. Okay. We've all talked about how he hasn't really fully grown and fully developed yet. Right. Smaller, maybe, but still has these great skills. So if he, depending on where he gets drafted, one of the things he's got to think about is if I come back next year, you know, another year's worth of growth, another year of strength training. If I got drafted in round X this year, would I be able to elevate my stock next year? Which, of course, then it's all about money. So you hope that he has those decisions to make, you know, for his sake. But I just can't help but think, no matter where he were to get drafted, and again, we're not sure that he will, but if he does, could he increase his stock by sticking around one more year?
Well, now I'm going to tell you one that's done really well that was drafted a couple of years ago after being here only 1 year, Heath, is Landon Harper. He started a game as the starting pitcher for the M Braves last week, and while they lost that game, he pitched four scoreless innings. He's now pitched 20 consecutive innings in Double-A baseball without giving up a run. Boy, I'll tell you what, I think Landon Harper's surprising a few people.
I think he's surprising some people. Very good job. And I'll tell you another, Tyler Stewart with the Mets is surprising some people. Southern Miss got guys in the pros. Ree Trimble has been hitting the ball really well. Dustin Dickerson has been getting a lot better. Man, there's some guys that got drafted that are doing really well in the minors right now. And let's not forget who got called back up. Matt Wallner got called back up to Minnesota. Yeah. So he's back in the show now.
And made a big-time catch over the weekend in the outfield. I saw a diving catch out in the outfield to help save a run for him.
Yeah, I mean, just Southern Miss, the past 5 or 6 years, they put a bunch of good players
in the majors, and you're starting to see it now with those guys getting AA, triple A, go ahead and getting the call up. I expect Landon Harper is going to be moving to AAA, you know, probably by next year. And if things go well, you may see him in Atlanta Braves uniform here in a couple of years.
And he's a great kid. I'd love to see that.
One of the things that really stands out to me about the Southern Miss baseball players is that once they're getting their opportunities, a majority of them are really taking advantage. They're not just, you know, they're not just incrementally getting better. They are really lighting it up, you know, when they're getting the opportunities. And I think that trend kind of started with Nick Sandlin. You know, man, I mean, Sandlin's one of the premier guys in the game now. And Landon Harper, as Bob just mentioned, has making the most of his opportunity. So it's good to know that these teams, when they're going through the draft process, they're going, okay, this is a Southern Miss kid. Look at these other Southern Miss guys that have gotten drafted. They all have good track records, which talks about their pedigree, which is only going to help future Southern Miss players as they go through the draft.
Yeah,
which means that more and more guys are going to get selected for the draft, which means Southern Miss may not see guys sticking around for 2 and 3 years. They only get them for 1 or 2 years, and they get drafted. Not that that's a bad thing, but that's the evidence of a really strong baseball program and a really good coaching staff.
All right. Now, there's nothing official, but you seem to believe that your sources, let me say it this way. Your sources tell you that the Golden Eagles may be preparing for the departure of Mr. McIntyre, maybe, with what we think will be a pretty exciting announcement here soon about another transfer portal guy?
Yeah, but if you look, you know, I kind of independently confirmed this, but Joey Urban, 2023 Big East Freshman of the Year from Butler University, looks like he's going to be transferring to Southern Miss. And you look at his stats, and they're pretty impressive. Now, in 2023, he was the Big East Freshman of the Year. And as a freshman, he batted .296, 6 home runs, 35 RBIs. You also look at 2024, which is usually you see a sophomore slump. You see him go down a little bit. Not this young man. He went up almost 40 points. He batted .332 with, I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 home runs and 41 RBIs. Also walked 29 times while striking out 43. So gets on base a lot. I tell you what, his OPS 903, pretty good. This is one of those. This may be one of the best transfers Southern Miss will ever get. I mean, this is a legitimate player. That adding that out. Say Dalton McIntyre doesn't get drafted. You get this kid, you had Dalton McIntyre out there, you put him in left field, put this kid in center field, Tato in right, you also got another transfer coming in. You're talking about a loaded outfield.
Yeah.
And, man, this Southern Miss team is going to be really, really good next year, and I think you're going to see them score a lot of runs. This is an exciting deal for Southern Miss baseball.
All right, and this is not official, but Heath sources indicate this will – be happening very soon. By the way, the draft is July 14th through 16th, so we don't have much longer to have to wait to see what's going to happen.
Next week is All-Star break week, and that's when the draft takes place. And that's relatively new. You know, in the past it was in June, which even made it worse. But now in July, in conjunction with the All-Star break.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Heath, so we'll have a lot of answers here in about 10 days, right? And we'll I think then begin to really see what the shape of the 2025 Golden Eagle baseball team is really going to look like.
Man, if you're a Southern Miss fan in the portal era, when you've seen the other schools in this state and how many people have went in the portal, if you're a Southern Miss fan, you've got to be ecstatic that you've been able to keep what you've been able to keep and maybe add these pieces. It's been a great job by the staff, Coach Oz and them, to be able to keep the team together and add pieces. I think that's what you're going to see in the future with NCAA baseball. It's teams that are able to keep the teams together for more than a year at the Southern Miss level, I think those are the ones that are going to make it to Omaha.
It speaks to the culture of the baseball program that so few kids that play big roles in the team. Well, I guess the truth is there's only ever been one. There's been one. Yeah. That entered the portal that was a key piece for the Golden Eagles. That's pretty remarkable in an era where you see Texas A&M play for the national championship, and then half of their baseball team enters the portal. Good stuff. All right, stick around with us, Heath, if you will. I want to talk to you and Kelly about this. The upcoming MAC Sunbelt Conference basketball showdown, and see what you guys think. Basketball, guys, I'm going to tell you, basketball will be here before you blink an eye.
I think they start practice in late September, which that's not be here far soon. At all.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, DBAT sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. They're on Hardy Street, state-of-the-art training facility for baseball, softball, hitting cages, tracks, you name it, expert instructors. State-of-the-art, beautiful facility. Glad to have them in Hattiesburg. We're lucky to have them. DBAT on Hardy Street. Also want to thank Town & Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners, family-owned and operated since 1983. They're located on Hardy Street across from the USM campus. You can call them at 601-264-4920. All right, Heath, I'm going to move on to basketball. Kelly just reminded me of 7 months of baseball season. dimmed my excitement.
That's a long construction paper chain, 7 months worth of loops.
It really sucks. All right, men's basketball. We're going to have the MAC Sunbelt Challenge again this year. The Golden Eagles are paired up with Bowling Green. The Bowling Green men's team will be playing at Southern Miss. The women's team will be playing at Bowling Green. Now, Kelly, you're a Midwestern guy originally. The MAC conference, I think it's always been a really respected conference. Kind of give us a little insight how the MAC and the Sun Belt compare.
Well, I think they're similar in the sense that, you know, they certainly don't have the resources of a lot of these other schools. They tend to be more regional in nature. You've got, you know, schools that have some direction names on them and so on and so forth. But size of schools are similar to the Southern, the Sun Belt schools. And really, basketball tends to be in the Midwest. That tends to be where they put a lot of their resources, not so much in football, as football is obviously the king in the South, but in the Midwest, it's more basketball. So last year, you know, we thought the Eagles were going to really handle Akron, and Akron, you know, tore us apart in that first game of the MAC Challenge. So some reputable schools, but again, like the Sun Belt, doesn't matter how good they are. If they don't win their tournament, they probably aren't going to the show.
You like these inter-conference challenge setups like this, Heath?
I do like them. The thing, and look, I think it adds excitement, but as far as, you know, is it going to help either conference get to the dance? I'm not sure, because I think both are one-bid leagues. So I'm not sure how much that's going to help, but I do like the idea of playing a team from a similar conference as you are and, you know, having a challenge. Personally, I would rather see it the Sun Belt AAC challenge. I think that would be more... I think that would be more comparable and more regional. But I do like the idea of playing conferences like this where, you know, the day you always had the Big Ten ACC challenge or Big 12 SEC challenge or whatever. I do like these type of situations. I just wish that it was like, you know, the Sun Belt and the AAC conference. I think that would add a little more spice to it, so to say.
And I wish they didn't call it the challenge. I wish that ADs and coaches would just kind of work these out on their own. With all due respect to people who make the schedules, which are generally the coaches, fans don't want to see you play a, you know, a Division III school or perhaps a weaker NAIA school, they'd like to see you play Division I schools, regardless of how big they are. And if they could do that more often, and you know, have a blend of ACC and MAC, and then throw in maybe some of the smaller schools, but not to make it a regular practice.
The nickname of Bowling Green?
The Falcons.
Really? What do you know about Bowling Green?
Bowling Green, well, you got, you know, Western Kentucky is in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and Bowling Green Falcons are in Bowling Green, Ohio.
Oh.
So, okay. So there's your they're not that far apart.
Everybody was excited about going to Bowling Green for the Corvette Museum. That's the wrong Bowling Green, I guess.
I think that's in Kentucky, though.
That's what I'm saying. I said if you were excited about going to Bowling Green to go to the Corvette Museum, I guess you're in the wrong state.
That's right.
Since it's Bowling Green, Iowa, or whatever, yeah. Ohio.
But, you know, the MAC and the Sun Belt are also those two schools that when it comes football season, you're going to have these wacky Tuesday night,
right,
Wednesday night, Thursday night games.
I don't like that. Okay.
So I don't either. But it does what they wanted it to do, is to get some TV ratings for people who just can't get enough college football. And it does give schools the publicity and the coverage that they wouldn't get otherwise.
So we don't have something ultra exciting like Arkansas and South Carolina stuffed down our throats.
Correct. Okay. You have to wait for Saturday for those games.
I can't wait. How about you?
for the SEC games you're talking about? Or for MACtion? Yeah, you know, Tuesday night MACtion.
Hey, real quick, Heath, about 40 seconds left. I know you you own Big Gold Nation. You got a new website. Tell us real quickly about it.
Yeah, we got a new site. You know, we've done some changes to it, make things easier. You go up and look at there's a banner above the top that has people that have offers, committed transfers. It's all up top in a little ribbon that runs across the top of the screen. Different layout of the pages. It's just so much easier to navigate and look up information now. So come join us and have a good time. We're going to be trying to talk to the coaches here, starting up for football here in the next few weeks. So we'll have some updates from that. Fun times happening. It's getting that time of the year.
All right, Big Gold Nation, Heath Hinton. Thanks, Heath. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that wraps us up for the day. Kelly and Michael Mergens will have the show for you tomorrow. We hope you'll tune in at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.